Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Tuesday, January 25th. We'll tell you how the U.S. is collaborating with other countries as worries mount that Russia will invade Ukraine, and which controversial issue the Supreme Court just agreed to take on. Also, what to know about the trial of three more officers charged in the death of George Floyd. Plus, why three states in Washington, D.C. are suing Google. It's been a wild week on Wall Street, and Meta's new plan for a supercomputer, and what that means. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It seems the world is one step closer to seeing a full-fledged crisis play out that now involves several countries. In response to a buildup of Russian troops around Ukraine, NATO partners are beefing up their military presence in Eastern Europe. Remember, the U.S. sent 170 tons of weapons, ammunition, and more tools. Denmark and the Netherlands sent fighter jets. Spain sent ships, and France is sending troops. Here in the U.S., the Pentagon put up to 8,500 American troops on standby in case they need to be deployed as well. If that happens, most of them would join the NATO force. Others could be assigned to different tasks, like possible evacuation efforts. So far, the U.S. has not set any evacuation flights, but Americans in Ukraine are encouraged to arrange their own trips out of there. The U.S. has also pulled some diplomatic personnel and their families from the American embassies in Kiev. Australia, Germany, and the U.K. did the same yesterday. This all comes as Russia now has more than 120,000 troops surrounding Ukraine from the north, east, and west. For months now, the U.S. and other countries have been trying to convince Russia to stand down. But as Defense Department officials said yesterday, quote, the Russians have no intention right now of de-escalating. Still, Russia insists it has no plans to invade Ukraine, but it's also making demands, like keeping NATO from expanding any further east, a promise NATO does not want to make. Just yesterday, President Biden held a call with the head of NATO, as well as his counterparts in France, Germany, Italy, Poland, the U.K., and more. The leaders talked about preparing tough consequences in case of a Russian invasion, loans and weapons supplies for Ukraine, and more. For now, they all agree they do not want to wage war with Russia. They ideally want to deter Russia from invading Ukraine. To be continued. Three more former Minneapolis police officers are now on trial for the death of George Floyd. They were all there the day then-officer Derek Chauvin kept his knee on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes, and Floyd died at the scene. Now the other three officers are facing federal civil rights charges. Two of them also face charges for not intervening. They're all pleading not guilty and are being tried together. In opening arguments, prosecutors said police officers have a duty to help people in need, but when they heard George Floyd crying for help, they were indifferent. On the other side, defense attorneys say even though Floyd's death was tragic, their clients did not commit any crimes. They say they didn't get good enough training from the police department and relied on their superior officer, Derek Chauvin, to do the right thing. This trial is expected to last about a month, and several experts say the outcome could have a big impact on policing nationwide, especially when it comes to chain of command. As we told you last spring, Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder and manslaughter for Floyd's death. That got him 22 and a half years in prison. Also last month, Chauvin pleaded guilty in federal court to violating Floyd's civil rights. Once again, the U.S. Supreme Court plans to take on the controversial topic of affirmative action in higher education. In case you're not familiar, that's the policy at many colleges and universities that's meant to include particular groups of people. And in most cases, it gives preference to those known to have been discriminated against in the past. Supporters say there's real benefits for everyone if campuses are diverse. And some point out that certain minorities have faced disadvantages their whole lives, so affirmative action makes things more fair. But critics say it makes the admissions process discriminatory, and they say race should not be a factor at all. This year, it will be up to the High Court to decide. It agreed to take up two cases, one against Harvard and one against the University of North Carolina. Both schools won their legal battles in lower federal courts, so the policy has been allowed to stay. But the group Students for Fair Admissions kept appealing until the case got to where it is now, the Supreme Court. It's not clear when this case will actually be considered, but since there are quite a few cases on the docket already, there's a good chance the affirmative action challenge won't come up until the next Supreme Court term that starts in October, and a decision might not be reached until next year. There's more hope the COVID-19 pandemic could move into a new, more manageable phase soon. A top official with the World Health Organization says the world might be able to feel a little more normal later this year. He pointed to rising vaccination numbers and more people who have gotten natural immunity by recovering from COVID-19. To be clear, the WHO is not saying people can let their guards down, just that we can hopefully end the emergency phase sometime this year and start focusing more on other health threats. That said, a different official, the WHO leader, offered a less hopeful note. He warned conditions are still ideal for more variants to keep popping up, and Omicron will likely not be the last one we deal with. He says the only way the world can get past the emergency phase is if a few goals are met, like vaccinating 70% of every country's population and improving testing and sequencing worldwide. The federal government is stopping some shipments of COVID-19 therapies. That's because this week, the FDA took two antibody medications off the list of acceptable treatments. They're the ones made by Regeneron and Eli Lilly. The FDA says they should not be used anywhere in the U.S. right now because they're not effective against the Omicron variant. And it's believed Omicron makes up more than 99% of new American COVID-19 cases. Still, the treatments could be brought back if future variants pop up that are more susceptible to them. In the meantime, several other treatments are still available in the U.S. More news is coming up, but first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. I know the pain of trying to find a new doctor. There's a lot you have to know about them that is not always easy to find. Like, will they take your insurance? Will they understand your needs? And when will they actually be available? ZocDoc helps you find those answers faster and easier. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. For example, I'm on the hunt right now for a new dentist, and I appreciate that I can easily find options that are nearby and in-network with just one click. Plus, I can filter for things like specialty, availability, and more. I found options that can get me in the very next day if that's what I needed. Or when quality is most important, I can read through the verified patient reviews to see what other real humans had to say about their visits. Just go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, Z-O-C-D-O-C, ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. Investors could be on edge again today after a wild day on Wall Street yesterday. Stocks took a nosedive before climbing up to end the day. They opened the day in the red as investors worried about the Federal Reserve's plan to hike interest rates, plus tensions in Ukraine and, of course, inflation. At one point, the Dow was down more than 1,000 points, meaning the market was on track for its worst day since October 2020. In fact, the largest cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, plummeted to 33,000, a new low. But stocks had a massive comeback. The Wall Street Journal reports it was the first time the Dow ever closed positive on a day it was down at least 1,000 points. And Bitcoin rallied too, trading above 37,000 after falling Monday morning. Search giant Google has been slapped with new lawsuits over so-called deceptive location tracking. Washington, D.C. and three states are all suing separately but have similar arguments. D.C.'s attorney general says Google tricks people into thinking they have control over when their location is being tracked, but they actually don't. Also, that Google makes it nearly impossible to opt out of having sensitive and valuable location data tracked. The lawsuit also argues it's all about money for Google, since location data is a big part of its digital advertising, which brought in $150 billion in revenue in 2020 alone. But Google is firing back, saying it'll defend itself in court and set the record straight. A spokesperson called the claims inaccurate and outdated, since there have been improvements in recent years to make location data easier to manage and understand. This is only the latest suit out of several against the tech giant. Meta says it built an artificial intelligence supercomputer, promising it'll be the world's fastest within this year. The company we used to know as Facebook is the latest in a slew of tech companies to build a supercomputer. But what does that term even mean? It's a high-speed computer actually designed to train the next generation of machine learning systems. Meta is calling their supercomputer the RSC, or the Research Supercluster. So the RSC supposedly will train a range of systems across Meta's businesses, like moderation algorithms that are used to find hate speech on Facebook and Instagram. Meta also says the RSC will be used to design experiences for the metaverse. That's the company branding for an interconnected series of virtual spaces, from offices to online arenas. Meta says the RSC will work with hundreds of languages, analyze text, pictures, videos, develop augmented reality tools, and more. It's expected to be done by the middle of this year. Rivals like Microsoft and NVIDIA have already announced their supercomputers as well. One of music's greatest icons sold his entire career's worth of music to Sony. Bob Dylan, who's been called one of the greatest songwriters of all time, sold his entire catalog of music spanning his six-decade career. Sony is keeping quiet about how much they paid for it, but some reports say it's worth around $200 million. Dylan did comment on the sale, saying he's glad all of his recordings get to stay where they belong. This marks yet another blockbuster deal for artists cashing in on their music copyrights. The record company bought Paul Simon's rights last March, and Bruce Springsteen's recorded and publishing rights last month. That's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, thanks to our sponsor. Along with the multivitamin that I take every day, I also take Seeds Daily Symbiotic. In fact, it's the first thing I take every morning. It's a probiotic plus prebiotic developed for systemic benefits. So yes, it supports digestive health, and it also goes beyond that. It helps maintain healthy gut barrier function and gut immune function. It promotes heart health and supports healthy skin and more. And to make sure the live probiotics actually go where they're supposed to go, Seeds Daily Symbiotic has capsule-in-capsule technology. So it helps protect it from stomach acid and enzymes as it makes its way to the small intestine for absorption. So bottom line, you're getting a 24-strain broad-spectrum probiotic and prebiotic that has been clinically and scientifically studied. And as an added bonus, this is a company that cares about the earth. Your daily symbiotic is sustainably delivered monthly. As an example, the shipping box is constructed from ecological paper made from algae that would otherwise damage fragile marine ecosystems. So go get your 15% off your first month's supply of Seeds Daily Symbiotic by visiting seed.com/newsworthy or by using the code newsworthy at checkout. That's seed.com/newsworthy or use code newsworthy at checkout. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, where is the palatine uvula, also just called the uvula, located? You can answer the question and play along on Instagram. Find and follow us at newsworthypod and look for the trivia quiz in our Instagram stories today. As for last week's trivia question, how many sides does the home plate in baseball have? The answer is 5. But it wasn't always that way. Baseball's home plate actually went through 3 major shape changes over the years. Before 1899, any round object could serve as home base. And it could have been made of anything. Stone, glass, marble, you name it. At one point, even a dish was used as home base, which is what some people think led to the name home plate. Then in 1900, the rules changed, making the home plate square-shaped so it matched the rest of the bases. At that point, it was made out of stone or marble, so sliding into home was not particularly popular as the sharp edges could slice skin. Then the 1901 baseball season brought us to the current pentagon shape, which we have as home plate now. The biggest advantage of the new shape was it made the edges of the strike zone more visible to pitchers and umpires, so that actually improved the consistency of calling strikes. Beyond the shape, the new design specifically called for the home plate to be rubber. This meant the base would give runners a new bounce in their step when they took off for first base. Plus, it would be a bit more comfortable when the runner slid into home. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We appreciate you. We'll be back with another news roundup tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.